You're listening to Japan Baseball Weekly. News, interviews, analysis, and hot takes about all 12 NPB teams. Hosted by Jim Allen and John E. Gibson.
Hi, and welcome to the Japan Baseball Weekly podcast. It's for the week of May 30th. I'm John Gibson, and with me on a Sunday night, getting my blood boiling and getting it going already, is Jim Allen. How you doing, buddy?
I'm all argued out. We haven't even started yet.
Good. I win.
You were waiting for that. You were waiting for me to give up, run out of breath.
Give something, man. Give a breath here. Give a guy a chance to speak. Give a lot of stuff. But yeah, I was waiting. All right.
I heard about
you
that.
You wait till I see you, buddy. You wait till I see you.
Not if I see you first.
All right. On this week's show, we've got a conversation with Ben, the MPB Reddit guy. And we're going to look at the first week of interleague play, go rocking with Roki, and handle some high heat. And a little bit more, so let's start swinging.
Clearing the bases!
All right, so on Wednesday evening, I caught up with NPB Reddit, Ben. He's Canadian, and actually, for the first time, and I have not spoken with him in so long. We had him on the show years ago. Neither he nor I could remember when. I tried to look up the old episodes. It was even before I started. I got the idea from Michael Westbay, who suggested, hey, when you put your blog post up, make sure you put the contents there so we'll know who's on the show. Mm-hmm. And so it was before that, because I looked through all of those episodes, but I didn't crack open each one when I got to the ones that were unlabeled. So I can't tell you what year it was, and Ben can't tell you what year it was, but he was on the show before. But then I didn't notice how much he was speaking Canadian. And on this interview, you can actually hear the Canadian come out. And I just hadn't spoken to him in so long. I hadn't realized it. I forgot to ask him what part of Canada he's from, but
how do you tell that?
You use your ears. Now remember, since I lived in so many parts of the United States, I just need basically a couple sentences and I can tell where people are from. But I would say somewhere in the eastern part of Canada, but I'm not as good with Canada as I am with the United States. Anyway, we spoke about the way Ben tweets. We spoke about the way news items have changed the way he tweets, and perhaps you as well, Jim. But anyway, let's take a listen to Ben, MPB Reddit. All right, joining us on the show this week is Ben, the MPB Reddit guy who was on the show. And as we were talking, Ben, thank you for being on the show, by the way.
No problem. Thanks for hosting me.
As I was trying to look up what previous appearance on JBW, I couldn't even find it. It has been so long. So I'm going to say 6-7 years ago. Does that sound right?
Well, to put it this way, you'd have to go to the library, get an index card, use the Dewey Decimal System to find that date for you there. I kid. No, yeah, that sounds about right.
I don't know. I will look it up. Maybe Maybe one of us can look it up and tweet it out before the show goes up. But anyway, thanks a lot for being on with us. It's good to have you. And we got to start with your Swallows. Obviously, when we had you on those many years ago, we talked about the fact that you were a Swallows fan. And last year, your team won it all. So how has that whole experience been?
Can I rub it in everybody's face now that they finally did it? No,
I'm just... Do what you want. When you win, you get to do what you want.
It's a good thing this is only an audio podcast, because I did a bunch of happy dances and I was running around the house screaming, broke out the good booze, you know. It's a release. It was a release. I mean, not only the fact that it was one of the best Nippon series I've ever seen. Oh boy, that took about 10 years off my life and just stressing about, you know, I think it was, if I remember correctly, it was the first Nippon series ever where all games were decided by 2 runs or less. And so that was stressful, you know, not knowing if the team was going to win or blow it, and they blew it once, but I mean, it was, you know, overall. Yeah, we won. Yeah, of course. Yeah. They're my Swallows. They're going to win, you know. But yeah, it was a great series, you know, reading through comments online in Yahoo Japan, the Japanese and the English ones, and everybody's like, wow, that was a really great series. And it was. I mean, props to the Buffaloes for last year, which seems to be an anomaly year for them last year based off of early results this year. But, you know, they put up a good fight. You know, they had a good run. But it's really great to see when your team wins at all. And their last one was 2001, 20 years. Yeah, they did. I remember I got to go to a game when they made the Nippon Series in 2015. No, it was 2018 versus the Hawks. And I was actually at that game where Yamada hit three home runs.
Three homer Tetsuto game. Yeah.
Yeah. That was the one game I got an actual ticket to. So I was happy to see that they lost. But yeah, always great to see your team wins. I mean, I know you feel the same way when your Dragons were on their majestic run there with Ochiai and whatnot.
Yeah, although it's much different. I mean, it sounds like you fan really hard, and I was not able to do that because I was sitting in the press box and had to be professional, so I couldn't fan at all. But I did enjoy the whole experience, and it was a 5-game series that ended with a perfect, you know, combo perfect games. I mean, I couldn't fan at all. That was I guess, the thrill of victory and the agony of victory in that particular case for me. But how has this season been for you then? How do you feel about the Swallows this year?
No real complaints so far. I mean,
oh yeah, because we picked the perfect night to do the interview after you have the second night of a walk-off home run against the Fighters. Yeah, yes. Yeah, everything, can't complain now.
I had to stop myself from screaming to wake up the youngest kid, but yeah, when you hit that home run. But yeah, I'm sure you probably remember my hatred for the Swallows' previous manager, Manaka, and some of his decisions. But yeah, Takatsu is, when he was the pitching coach for the team, the Swallows' pitching staff was not that good, so I had my reservations about when he stepped up, or not stepped up, was offered the
reservations?
Job.
Reservations? Yeah, I think I specifically remember a rantervation that you had on Twitter about firing everybody, including the pitching coach.
That's putting it politely, John. That was a very bad year for not only the Swallows team, but also as fans. I can't remember how many beers I had, you know, but for the most part, Takatsu has been, his decisions have been, you know, spot on. There's only a couple times I disagreed with him, you know, but I don't get paid to do that. So, but his record speaks for himself. And then, like you said, they're 2-0 in interleague play now, and they're in first place again. I know they're switching with Giants and the carpet net at this point in the season. It's still early, but yeah, it seems like the bullpen is real steady. My only concern might be that they dip into the bullpen a little too much. But I do know they don't send guys out there 3 innings at a time. It's usually 1-2 innings max, and then they'll switch another player. And McGuff's lights out as usual. I think he's, 17-18 games consecutive without allowing a run this season so far. But yeah, it's just phenomenal. If I had any complaints, it would be the hitting is not up to snuff so far. I know Osuna, injuries somewhat killed us a little bit.
Sure.
And Osuna is just barely above the Mendoza line. And I noticed Aoki's not doing a whole lot, but then we get Murakami, the swing god, you know, and this guy's leading RBIs and home runs. I haven't checked to see if Okamoto tied him today. I think he did in home runs, but still, it's just, he's 2 grand slams in consecutive games. Just wow. Yeah. Sometimes
right,
when you
right.
need
don't,
when this
don't fan boy out on us here.
you said I could fan out. No. You're asking about my team now. Okay.
No problem. So now, what do you think about Interleague overall with the teams playing each other each year?
It has its merits, you know. You get it all into one section, and you can make little contests out of it or whatnot, like the news articles do, and make it a team competition, or not a team competition, but, you know, like the Pacific League. I noticed they've toned down their trash talk a little bit since they got beat last year. But that was always fun to look for. No, I know they put out a video – I saw they put out a video that was like trying to egg on CL fans and whatnot, but it wasn't the same level of trash talk as it was in previous years, where they would say, "What are you going to do now, CL teams? We've got this record for what?" I think they won like 8 years in a row overall, even though like the Giants and the Swallows would win the team-based competition, but as far as the specifically, we'd always win more games in the Central League in the series, and they would just trash talk the poop out of it.
I think it was more than eight. It was before last year. It was 2009, the last time CL had gotten more wins, so it was more than 8 years.
Yeah. It's a nice change of events, you know. You don't have the same amount of teams as MLB, so it's a nice change of pace to see different teams, get all the different fans in, and people who live in those areas might not be able to see the teams they grew up with or the teams that are a fan of that they don't live next to. Like I'm waiting next year with the brand new stadium. For those who don't know, I'm up in Sapporo. My CL team is the Swallows, much overall, but I'm also kind of a Fighters fan now by transient process, by my wife being a Fighters fan. So I can't wait till next year when they get the new stadium, and the Swallows are scheduled to come up here next year because they're playing at Jingu this year versus the Fighters. So
yeah, I love how you say schedule, because with COVID, we just never know. But yeah,
right now,
and then the stadium.
Yeah, schedule. The stadium, I was by there a couple weeks back. It's actually looking pretty good. And there's some of the local news stations do segments on it, showing you what's up and running now. They don't have the actual field down yet, but I know they've got they're starting to put up the vision boards, and of course you get the sponsors going, "Oh, we made this the first base ticket gate is going to be called the Coca-Cola gate," or something. I saw a press release, I tweeted that out, but yeah, it's going to look beautiful when it's done. Cold, well, but it's going to look beautiful.
I can tell you, when Nagoya Dome was being built, I had a paper in Nagoya, and we actually got permission to do a story, so they brought us in before they had actually put any of the turf down, and they had no seats in it, and the roof wasn't even done. And we got to go and tour the whole facility and then go back when it was actually finished. So that's fun. So I hope you can do something like that. Now, what are your biggest impressions of the season so far? We've got a lot of things going on. We got the big boss, of course, Tsuyoshi Shinjo, doing his thing, and in your neck of the woods in Hokkaido. And then we've got a lot of mediocrity in the Central League in terms of, I guess you could say, winning teams. But the Tigers, we had in our prediction shows, had people predicting that they would win the Central League. And I did tweet out the fact that tonight, despite their horrific start, they only have two fewer wins than the Dragons and the Bay Stars. So they're right in the thick of things. If they can get to that fourth place spot, they can start to, you know, maybe make a second half run at the playoffs. But what's your whole impression of the MPB team so far this season?
I just vividly remember all the trash talk that was going, since you mentioned Big Boss. There was a lot of people trashing on him because the Fighters started off really slow, like the Tigers. And then there's people calling it that, oh, they wanted to see the toilet bowl series between the Tigers and the Fighters. But they've kind of turned it around. Yeah, they've kind of turned it around now. I mean, they're still not getting those W's, but it looks like they've got some up and coming players that could really bolster that team down. PL batting leader Go Matsumoto. Where did he come from? You know, just all of a sudden, boom, boom, boom. Since, drawing a blank here.
Kendo. I think early on he wasn't even on the top team roster, and then they put him on the roster, and then he got some game time, and he has just been going since then. But I think the first 2 weeks he was not on the top team, as far as my memory. Jim can help us out with that, but yeah, where'd he come from? He came from wanting to play instead of wanting to be not wanting to be on the farm. And we've heard Big Boss talk about the fact that, hey, I want you to play like you want to stay here, like you want to earn your spot on the team, and those kinds of comments. And yeah, I mean, I see them getting better, and that's all you can ask. There's so many young players on that team that I don't think winning was even, by winning is having a winning record and going to the playoffs was a goal for this season. But he did want to get some of these guys some experience and help them discover either themselves or just learn about the game. And I think he's doing both of those things.
Yeah. And just tonight, when I was watching the game, Yoshida out of the bullpen for the Fighters now. I know they were primarily using him as a starter, but since they moved him to the bullpen, I don't think he's given up a run since they moved him there. I haven't checked the stats on him, but just throws that fastball, which is kind of a pain point for me. Is like, hey, you know he's throwing that fastball. You know he throws it for strikes a lot. Hit it. And one of the smallest guys is watching. Yeah. It's definitely going to be a team to watch. I mean, where are those Shinjo trash talkers now? I mean, yeah, Big Boss, everybody got sick of it. Well, a lot of people did, but where are all those trash talkers now? I mean, he's getting that team turned around, not to the point where they make a playoff run, but yeah, I can see potential there.
Yeah, I don't know if I trash talked him per se, but I definitely was not a fan of the antics. But even he has calmed down over that first month, let's say, and in the past, I guess, four to five weeks, he has been a lot more managerial, if that's a word, in that sense, that he's just more of the manager type. He's still going to do crazy things. And I actually like the fact that he keeps other managers off balance by doing unconventional things. I think that's smart, to be honest. If people know what you're going to do, then you don't have any element of surprise. So I think it's smart. But sure, I the trash talkers are probably still going to be around, and maybe they don't have anything to trash talk now. They're out of ammo. They have to restock. But I think he'll provide some ammunition for them.
Definitely, yeah. I know he's been trying to the double steal a lot, and it worked for him. But nope, it did not work tonight, Shinjo. Sorry, Swallows caught you.
All right. So the last time we had you on, I think I told you how your tweeting and your appearance on Twitter kind of changed, or my noticing of you, because maybe you were tweeting before I noticed that you were out there. But when I noticed that you were tweeting so much about the news items, that it changed the way that I was tweeting. I don't know if you remember that conversation.
You stop. You don't. You're making me blush.
Okay. So what has changed for you in recent years because of the proliferation of other podcasts here in English or other sources here in English?
It's great. It means I don't have to do as much work as I used to. I can just hit the retweet button or, you know, hit the like button on Reddit, you know, and like let somebody else do it. Yeah. Thank you. No, but it's...
That's exactly what I thought when you started doing all that stuff.
No, it's great to see so many people get interested in Japanese baseball. We've been following this for a long time. You know, we started out in the era days of when Michael Wesbe first set up JapaneseBaseball.com. You know, and I have nothing but respect for him, what he had to go through himself, and you know, moderating all that and whatnot during the early days. But no, it's just like, I don't know if you remember the I want to say a month ago or so, we passed 10,000 subscribers on Reddit, and I never dreamed there would be so many people interested in Japanese baseball. And of course, it's been boosted a lot with Shohei Ohtani going over, you know, and almost every year some NPB star goes over. But when I first started doing this, I would have been happy with like 100. I would be like, yes, 100 people interested in Japanese baseball. And now we got 10,000, and I think like 6,000 on just the Twitter account I run. And it's just great to see so many people, you know, asking questions, you know, wanting to say, hey, where can I get this? Or, hey, did you see that game? And just other people being as excited as we are about Japanese baseball. And they're so interested in content, you know, and hey, even if we don't have what they're looking for, we can help them find it. And that's, to me, that's awesome.
Yeah, for me, and we only met that one time, I guess we had a baseball get together. This was back in the before time, and we
won. Yeah, and right? You conveniently forgot to take a picture.
Yeah, stupid me. But at that time, I think we just talked about the fact that we all got together because we love baseball. And we happen to be in Japan, and it's certainly in a different language and all that stuff, but we all enjoy it. And I just remember that being a real fun night, and we all talking about our love for and our passion for Japanese baseball. But it shows up with every tweet, I think, positive or negative. I think that it just shows the passion that's out there. So we certainly appreciate you and what you do, and you help us out, like I said. And it's nice to have you on the show again after all these years, and we'll try to do it again sooner next time.
Oh yeah, no rush. I realize that everybody wants to hear the people who actually played and managed in NPB first. So that's always, or at least that's what I want to hear. Is I don't want to hear myself. I mean, but it's always fun to be on these types of shows. It's rare that I actually, you know, with COVID the past 2 years, I haven't actually gotten to speak in person with anybody other than tweeting and, you know, and talking on Reddit about it. But yeah, thanks for having me on again.
All right. We'll talk to you next time.
Yeah.
Well, of all the times we've spoken to Ben, I think the last time we actually caught up with him was at the baseball get together that we had. Remember mm-hmm. that, Jim?
Yeah.
That was at Bubby's downtown here in Tokyo. And then he moved to Hokkaido. So I don't know if Hokkaido brought out that Canadian.
It's the Great White North, Canadian, I suppose.
Maybe he's got another Canadian friend and he's been speaking with him, because I just had not noticed it before. But anyway, what stuck with you after you listened to the chat?
I just love, you know, the whole enthusiasm and the sense that, you know, the sense that when you go to you're living in a foreign country and you're discovering this magnificent thing, the way somebody else plays baseball, the way other people talk about baseball, the way other people think about baseball, and you're going through all that as your own kind of private discovery is mm-hmm. a marvelous thing. And then add on top of that, the marvelous thing when you find that other people are doing the same.
Mm.
And I got that, and I just felt like, you know, my heart was soaring like an eagle, you know, to quote some American Indian character in several different movies.
Didn't I call it the way Ben was speaking about the Swallows? Didn't I call it fanthusiasm? Is that what I called it?
You can. We had a comment on Twitter the other day. I told him he got his Swallows street cred renewed for the year. I don't remember what it was, but it was something about the last. Oh, I remember it was on Saturday. On Friday, Yasutaka Shiomi hit 3 home runs, and we were talking about when's the last time somebody hit 4 in NPB, and he nailed the answer as Atsuya Furuta in 2003.
Aha! Right. And so because he knew that, you're like, okay, you get your card renewed.
Exactly.
How long is that? When is the next expiration date? Is that a 2-year thing or a 3-year?
I'm not in charge. I think that's sort of a thing.
Good answer. Excellent. Well, you should be a politician the way you dodge questions. Gosh, that was excellent.
That would require me to be not responsible for anything.
Hashtag high heat.
Oh, shoot. All right. For me, I heard some key words in there that I noticed with fans and the way they fan. And that's what I was telling Ben. I said, man, you fan hard, man. I mean, this, gosh. But for lack of a better word, I guess I just don't use we. And I know that even right. in Japanese, when you're talking about a team, that's the word you use, basically. Is we and you know, number one, I'm not on the payroll. That's the number one thing. I teased Michael Westbay about that mm-hmm. when he used the word we, and I said, dude, you know, you're not getting any money from them. You know, you can say we all you want, but it's not really true. But I know that, and just like I think last week we talked about with Boog Shambi, that we tend to feel one with the team. We're not just rooting for the team. We feel part of the team. As fans, as people rooting with that team and watching the players grow and develop and cheering for them and telling them they're bad when they're bad, we just feel part of the group. But like I said, they don't generally ask for, like Ben said, they don't generally ask for his opinion either or the opinion of any fans. And so I stopped saying we, and this is before I even took this kind of a job. I stopped saying we early on when I when one of my teams took a player I just did not like. And I'm like, well, you know, if they're not going to, if I don't have any input about how things go, what happens on the field, who gets to play, how long they get to play, any decisions going on, I'm not going to use it. I mean, that's just a personal decision. I just, like I said, Ben fans hard. A lot of fans fan hard, and there's nothing wrong with that. You guys can feel the way you feel. But I always feel on the outside because my teams make some really stupid decisions and bring in some really bad players and do dumb things, and that's not me. Only thing I want to be associated with is when they win.
I hear that. I certainly sympathize with that last aspect of it because that describes my fandom for the most part, with a minor exception of my teams in Japan because they're present. They're here and present. But, no, I get what you're saying, and I would reference two things I heard that were really interesting this week. One was the death of Roger Angel, the great writer for the New Yorker, who wrote about baseball as an experience, not as an insider, but as kind of a fan's look at the game.
Sure.
He wrote about baseball with knowledge of the inside, but with a fan's kind of enthusiasm and understanding of what baseball meant more than what it was as a game. And he said something marvelous that somebody quoted the other day, which was baseball. The magical thing about sports is that it gives you something to believe in. That's you can invest. It gives you something you can really invest in. And if that means, you know, calling the team we, that's fine. And you can have this joy, this unmitigated joy and pain from something that's not really doing anybody any harm, you know? And I liked that.
Not just baseball though.
No, it's not just baseball, it's sports in general. But I think that was quite astute. The other thing was that I think that's really important now because somebody else who I'm not a huge fan of politics, but he said that the United States now is going through a kind of a spiritual anarchy where people are no longer taught to that they have to better themselves, that life is a challenge to make your to do more to become a better human being, and that so far the answer to that has been you're fine the way you are, everybody who disagrees with you is wrong. And
right,
that sort of anarchy, that sort of nihilistic approach, you know, sports is kind of an antidote for that, in the sense that in that vacuum, you can cling to it. Of course, then we saw the New York Yankees tweet, the New York Yankees and the Tampa Bay Rays tweet about the most recent gun massacre in America, in an American school. And they tweeted out details like how many more people an assault rifle can kill. And I saw the follows to the tweet, unfollowed. I only want to know about my baseball team. I don't want people talking about the real world like it's important.
Yeah, we even got some of that. We got some people tweeting back at us saying, don't tweet about this, that, and the other, trying to censor us. And I'm like, you're telling reporters not to talk, not to give their opinions about something? Ain't gonna work.
Yeah.
So they want to unfollow the good.
Yeah. I mean, I'm here for that. So, but yeah. I thought that was, but I think those things are connected. You know, what we believe in as human beings and what we choose to follow. But I, you know, let's build. It's okay. You know, believing in something is really, really good. I mean, and if it causes you to do dumb things sometimes, well. I'm not immune to doing dumb stuff sometimes.
Well, yeah, but you know, the other thing I thought about, you know, just talking to Ben and like I said, making up this word fanthusiasm, that he was the opposite of you. You were so pessimistic last year about the Swallows in the Japan series. And when they won, it's like, oh yeah, they won. Great. They did a good job. And I'm like, man, where are you? What is wrong with you? Why are you numb? And so Ben was the exact opposite. He was, you know, calling Munetaka Murakami the swing god, and he was I mean, I thought I was gonna have to wipe my computer off. He was drooling so much about his team, and I'm thinking, why doesn't Jim do this at all? Why don't you do this at all, Jim?
And the answer is because because the Swallows side of me is the Swallows fan side of me is there, but it's mine. It's not everybody's. It's not everybody's. It's mine.
Oh, all right. Well, do you at least watch games and yell at the TV like the rest of us when your team doesn't do well?
I still like to see, you know, I want the Swallows to win, but I also want, I want both teams to play well. I want to see, like, I'm a little bit like Tsuyoshi Shinjo, because he had a moment, and this is something I really like about him, was when the Swallows were playing the Nippon Ham Fighters on Friday, and Kazuto Taguchi, the little left-hander who basically got kicked off the Giants for not throwing hard enough, came in with the bases loaded and nobody out. I think it was the seventh inning. And he got out of that jam after, you know, running to a couple of 3-2 counts on hitters with the bases loaded. And after he, you know, the fans were going nuts at Jingu Stadium, as much as nuts as they could without trying to be audibly heard speaking when they're not supposed to. And right. Shinjo was out in the dugout applauding him. He's saying, yeah, like, good job. And at first I thought, how weird is that? But I thought, how pure is that? And that's me a little bit. When I see something like that, I think, damn, I'm glad I saw that. Even if it's the other team doing, I think, oh, I'm sorry my team didn't score, but what a job. And that's where I am.
Sure, sure. And we will talk about Big Bossy and all those things later on a little bit, I think. But yeah, that was a great moment. And let's just transition into Interleague. Ben, thank you so much, and hope to have you on again in the future.
Keep really fanning, man. The chat. You got to make up for my lack of fanning.
Yes. I'm not going to touch that one. So we will transition seamlessly into interleague play. So I wanted to talk about that series. What an epic opening series between Yakult and Nippon Ham. And it just really, I thought all six series to open up interleague were really compelling. I mean, this one, I think, got the baseball world here in Japan invigorated. There was high excitement, lots of tension. We had lots of runs scored. The tweets were going out of control. You had walk-off wins in the first two games for the Swallows. You had Kotaro Yamasaki hitting this come-from-behind three-run homer to win a game. And then in the third game, Yakult erases a two-run deficit late. But then, I don't know, somebody's jinxed, because Ben mentioned the fact that McGough had not been scored upon in the interview there. But, that ended that night. It was a couple nights after the interview. We spoke on Wednesday. I think that was Thursday night that he got hit. So anyway, and then Chusei Mannami, you know, he gets a fastball up, and I think because Scott gave up two home runs in that blown save situation, he gets a fastball up, and I think that was a kind of a tip your hat kind of a spot for that pitch. But then Arismendi Alcantara, it was a mistake that he hit, and he ties the score at 5. And then it just looked like the Swallows were going to walk it off again, because they had guys on and had the chance to win. And then they hit into a double play, and then the Fighters explode for a bunch of runs in the 10th inning, and they ended up winning it. But just what a fantastic series it was. You talked about Big Boss coming out of the dugout and doing his over-the-head clap, I think, is with the over-the-head clap that he was doing, right? When
over-the-top clap, even, maybe.
And you said weird, and I thought, and then you said pure, and I think those are great words, but it's also showmanship, you know? It's also, this is our product, baseball. I'm enjoying it. I hope you're enjoying it, too.
That's good, too, because that's something that is so alien to Japanese baseball culture, particularly in the Central League, where Okay. I remember one day at my former employer, the day Kate Hanshin Tigers pitcher Kei Igawa announced that he would be posted. And the first press conference picture we had was him sitting in the little media room at Koshien Stadium with the Hanshin Tigers flag behind him. And that went on our front page index of the Daily Yomiuri, now known as the Japan News. And we were ordered to change it to a picture that didn't show the Hanshin Tigers flag because the Yomiuri's job is not to promote the Hanshin Tigers. And the former head of the Yomiuri Giants one time threw something at me while I was in the sports department looking up data on the database terminal. And he was raving about writing too much good stuff about the Tigers in that day's paper. And he said, "We are not the Hanshin Tigers Shimbun like the Daily Yomiuri." But the guy who was a serious major jerk, as probably pretty much everybody knows, which is it's hard to stand out in somebody who's a Yomiuri executive, because that's kind of the norm for a lot of those guys. Unlike a couple of the people we know who are different. I mean, we know some good ones, but he was one of the old school guys that you would kind of like not want to hydrate if they were on fire.
Do you hear that siren going off in the background? I think it's for all the people you just fired.
Yeah, there was a little smackage in there. Sorry. But anyway, but that's the whole thing. Is the Central League's attitude is those people who are promoting baseball, who are making this game better, we're not going to lift a finger to help them. That's particularly the Yomiuri Giants stance. Everything is about pro baseball is for us. Everybody else can go suck eggs.
Right.
So for Shinjo to be there applauding it, to me, it just was so, at first I thought it was so strange, and then I thought, well, how wonderful that is.
Yeah. I mean, I thought, you know, with this, you know, he came into his presser when he got the gig, saying, look, he's not going to be talking about winning all the time. You could take that however you want. I took it to mean, hey, look, he's not going to say we need to win, we have to win tonight or whatever, or we're going to be talking about championships and all that stuff. Let's just go out every day, try to get the job done, and that's it. And, you know, we'll live with the results. But, of course, we're going to work on process. Of course, we're going to focus on details and fundamentals and all those things, but we're going to go out and play baseball. I mean, you know, it's not the end all be all here. It's baseball. So let's go have fun and have, it's a game. Let's play. So, and the other series, I guess it was an interesting series. And we talked about this before we started recording. And I thought, okay, the Dragons, you know, they lost to the Lions and then they somehow won the third game. And, before that third game, I said, boy, if they don't win tonight, they might go 0 for 12 in to start interleague play, because they've got the defending Pacific League or the reigning Pacific League champion Buffaloes next up after that. And they're going to play the Eagles and SoftBank coming up this week. They could really be in some trouble here. And they proceed to win on that Friday night. Then they beat Yoshinobu Yamamoto on Saturday, and they did it with this pitcher, Hiroshi Suzuki, who I guess he's another repurposed Dragons pitcher. Mm-hmm. Now they've got a few on that staff. I think a couple of them have made starts. At least two of them have made starts. This Suzuki is one of them. The other one's Koji Fukutani, and he made a couple starts. And he had been he was brought in supposedly was going to be the closer. Didn't work out there. Started getting some starts a couple years ago. Has been okay, but then this season he just hasn't, for whatever reason, have been able to stick. And then Takumi Yamamoto, a guy who started out as a starter, and they have moved him to the bullpen. So they like to repurpose a lot of these pitchers. But I tell you, on Saturday, I recorded that game specifically because I thought Yamamoto was going to throw a no-hitter. And I was as surprised as anyone when they scored one run off of him, and not to mention two, and they actually made him the losing pitcher that day. So that was a big surprise. So that series was compelling. What has really gotten your attention besides that Fighters Swallows opening?
Well, the Tigers, I enjoyed the Tigers Eagles series.
Mm.
I mean, the first one was Masahiro Tanaka at Koshin, which was kind of fun. I mean, I didn't watch a lot of it. He was pretty good. They didn't score for him. Jeez, what's the surprise? But the Tigers played well in that series, and the Eagles salvaged the last game. But it was competitive. It was fun. Some good pitching, some good plays. I thought the Sunday's game was very tight. It was basically decided. It was a 1-0 game, which saw manager Akihiro Yano being criticized by former Eagles manager and former Tiger Yasushi Tao for not putting a pinch runner in for his catcher in the eighth inning, and then having Kenya Nagasaka being thrown out at home for Haruki Nishikawa's ninth outfield assist. I mean, we're in the middle of May and he's got 9 outfield assists.
Yeah.
But it was, it was typical of his throws, just online, it was there, and he made the play. So that was the thing. And then Ginji Akiminai, I think it was, who came up with the big hit in the ninth inning. But just a riveting game by everybody. By the Tigers and the Eagles, so I enjoyed that quite a lot.
And I guess the other surprise for me, I guess it's Rise of the Littles, because until today, because the Pacific League swept all 6 games today, but before today, you had the Bay Stars taking 2 out of 3 from the SoftBank Hawks, which is a big surprise. That's another one I thought, okay, this could go backwards and get off the rails quickly, but no. The Bay Stars played really well. They hit well. They caught the ball. Some of the things they didn't do in a game. I think it was Saturday against the Lions. They had 3 errors in 1 inning, and 2 of them from Taiki. Sekine misplayed a couple of balls. One he lets get behind him, and the other he lets bounce over him. And it was just some unfortunate defense in that particular game. But those things happen, especially in places where you're not familiar. What's that?
Yeah. If he had a foreign passport, he'd be public enemy number one. Ask Adam Walker about that one.
I'll have to.
Oh, he had a game against the Carp a couple of weeks ago where the Carp scored 2 runs, basically one time because he has a weak arm and he didn't have a, he was not in the best position to throw the ball.
Mm-hmm.
So could those 2 things allowed a runner to score from second on a hit in front of him to left field. And he wasn't playing particularly deep. It was just not a great throw. And the other one was not an easy catch, but it was one that he gave up on. I guess he misread it straight off the bat and he didn't have an option to catch it. But it was the kind of play where you would basically never hear a Japanese player criticized, but the next day it was, the Giants can't win anymore because they have Adam Walker playing in left field.
Oh, good grief. All right, so we got these great series to open it up, and it's over so quickly. We got 3 weeks of interleague play. It's going to be over so very quickly.
Do you miss the old 6 weeks of interleague?
I liked more games, that's for sure. And, we get these matchups that we don't see all the time. Now, a long time ago, I think one at your former employer's workplace, there was talk about teams like not taking these games seriously and throwing kids and giving guys opportunities during this time. And I think part of that philosophy has always been, well, if you guys are going to do research on our organization, we want you to do research on all of our organization and stay busy. with all of the numbers on all of the guys who could possibly come up and get a spot start, some of the players who could come up and get some time. And our guess is that you can't do all your homework that you won't do all your homework. And we'll get guys like Biku Watanabe of the SoftBank Hawks, mm-hmm. who comes up and makes his pro debut, and hits a home run in his first at bat, and then tops that off by hitting a home run in his second at bat. So his first two pro at bats, he homers. So then he comes up in his third at bat and knocks in a run with a single. So to have some of that, if you guys want to study our entire organization.
Yeah. Well, I know the thing you're referring to, because that was the Chinichi Dragons in 2005. And the import players, Tyrone Woods and some of his teammates were telling me, because I was at the Bay Stars game. The Dragons were playing the Bay Stars in Yokohama just before the start of Interleague. And I was talking to the guys, what do you think about Interleague? And they're going, it's a complete waste of time. It's not worth our effort. And all I could think of was the whole team's attitude was Interleague's a joke and we're going to ignore it. Because that was Hiromitsu Ochiai's response to Interleague. I don't like it, so let's just ignore it. And that was the Dragons' sort of official policy for about 2 years. They tried to schedule as many Interleague games in parks with low attendance, where they couldn't cram fans in, so that they could say, "Look, our Interleague's killing our attendance, because look at all the people we got at Nagoya Dome compared to Hamamatsu." And I mean, that's the stuff the Dragons organization was pulling at that time. And then they kind of realized that was kind of a losing, that was kind of not a very productive thing to do, because they got their butts kicked in 2005, and they sort of, you know, nobody knew how to prepare for it. I think that was one. Yeah.
Yeah. Talk about your dumb decisions costing a game.
But, yeah. That one. Yeah. Yeah, well, that was a year they were the defending Central League champions that year, and
it's just kind of wacky. So I think this is going to be a close race. Now, where were we? We were 5 days in, and I think the Central League twice won four of the games, and then came today when the Pacific League swept. So they showed him what's up today. But I'm still, when we spoke last week, my assumption was the Central League was going to get wiped up. And it's still possible. This is only the one third of the way through. So it's still quite possible for the Central League to get wiped out. But I'm actually impressed with the likes of the Dragons and the Bay Stars getting a couple wins. The Carp, we talked about their traditional struggles, but a lot of those people aren't there, and it doesn't really matter. It's a new season, so.
But I wonder how much that organizational thing goes with the Carp. The other thing we do know about the Carp. I mean, we know quite a lot, little bit about a lot of teams, but we do know the Carp are the cheapest team in NPB, and we also know that they're not going to spend a penny on analytics because they can't put it on a T-shirt and sell it.
Hashtag high heat.
So basically,
you got that flamethrower, huh?
I'll tell you, guys, come to
this
the car.
Be another ambulance.
I know, guys. Like I said, that's the guys from Toyota, from the corporate league team Toyota, come and join the Carp, and they go. You know, it's like they're writing home to get information about their opponents because the Carp ain't got any. And that's, you know, just the way the Carp are. It's their corporate culture. And so I'm not surprised by that. I think that might be one of the things. I know when Trey Hillman in 2006 said, boy, 2005 really, really stuck it to us. Our guys weren't ready. He and the team went to work on a plan from day one. You know, we're going to be following these Central League teams until Interleague's over. And they were scouting them, and they were doing their research, and bam, they did very well in Interleague in 2006, and helped turn their season around. I mean, they'd been playing well, but that was the concrete results turned them into, you know, put them in contention.
Yeah. All right. Well, speaking of contention, we've got Yakult, we've got Seibu, and we've got SoftBank all at 4-2. We've got Hanshin, DeNA, Chunichi, and Rakuten, along with Lotte and the Giants and Nippon Ham at 3-3. So still clogged.
Yeah.
3-game winning streak could put you at the top. 3-game losing streak might drop you toward the bottom. But you got to fall a long way to get to the 1-5 carp. So let's make a 4-seam transition and hit our mini track segment. Now, there was just a whole lot of mediocrity. And I will say this again because we have new listeners this year. I basically go off the top of my head and say, okay, which teams? This is our power track segment. And we just talk about the hottest teams for the month. So we're going to look at the month of May. And I thought to myself, what teams have been hot? And I think, and then I go and see if the teams that are, I think, are hot and cold match up with reality. And in this case, I put the Swallows at the top. I put the Hawks next and the Eagles next. And basically, those are the three teams that had the best May. But there's a lot of questions.
I think you absolutely nailed it with your first comment. This is a month of mediocrity where some teams. Actually, I'm gonna jump out and I'm gonna put I'm gonna say for my top three, Nippon Ham, Yakult. Yep. And I'm going to have SoftBank at the top, although the Bay Stars actually played quite well. Their record didn't really reflect it. And I wouldn't put them in there because you still their bullpen after, you know, it's kind of a ninth inning jack in the box and you don't know if you're going to crank it enough for the things going to come out or you're just going to be waiting while the other team's scoring. So I didn't put the Bay Stars in there, but I like the direction they're going in general. At the bottom, are we going to get to the bottom yet?
You go ahead.
Okay. At the bottom, I'm going to go with Lotte, Hanshin, and Seibu. Now the Tigers were 500 the last 30 days, but they weren't very convincing. You know, and this is also my issue with the Swallows. They kind of played like gutsy little Swallows. And they would look very inconsistent, very, sort of like doing all the dumb stuff at the wrong time. I mean, I still like the direction the Swallows go. I think they're very well managed, but I'm not convinced. And the Eagles, the Hawks, I have there because at the top, because some of the stuff that's underpinning, that's not run scored and allowed, but you know, just really basic stuff like, you know, how well they field the ball and how well they hit the ball is my reason for keeping them in the top three. But I've got the Lions, Marines, and the Tigers at the bottom.
Yeah, I had the Tigers, I had the Dragons, and I had the Buffaloes, and I had the Dragons because they're such a difficult watch. Mm. It's not like they might win some games. They might come out of the week with a good record, win loss wise, but I mean, it is a trip to the dentist, and then you go straight from the dentist and get a new cast on your leg, on your broken leg. And then
you're hitting it and saying, does that hurt?
Yeah, you go from there and you go to the chiropractor to have him, you know, do some painful things to your back to get it right. I mean, you know, it's just treatment and more treatment. And then you have to go to the psychologist or the psychiatrist because you're mentally, I mean, it's horrible.
Well, horrible. Can I share this tweet part of this text I got? I hate baseball right now.
That was private. All right.
I don't know how much more I can take. John is much more of a, he's fan and arter than I am. Well, that's, you know, somebody's got to.
That's private. No, I was having a day, but it wasn't just a day. It was another day. Let's put it on that. You know how okay. they talk about stacking the blocks, right? You go to the gym, you do this work, you go back the next day, you do this work, and you stack the blocks. And when you get to the time when you need to use all these things, it's there for you because you built that base. Well, that is my stress. That was, I mean, I obviously I've got lots of stress from watching this team, but that particular day was the day I just jumped off whatever it was I was going to jump off. So yeah, I hated baseball.
It wasn't
right
very, very high space you were jumping off of.
Well, you know, when you get to be this age, you can't even climb that high to hurt yourself falling down. So I'm good. But yeah,
I've been there, done that. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm putting the Dragons at the very bottom. The Buffaloes also had their struggles, and it wasn't like, it wasn't like they had a terrible, terrible record. But I think they've lost the most games. They at least had lost 14 games in May, and they just didn't look like, they haven't looked like that team from last season, not even for a stretch. They've had a game, but they haven't had a stretch or series or a time.
They haven't. They did get some. Part of that is Yutaro Sugimoto not looking remotely like he did last year. Except in the outfield, he looked like he did last year a little bit. that's not a kind thing to say. So
You're looking for his GPS so he could find the ball, right?
Yeah, that was one of those plays. Well, it was finding it after he'd caught it, and. The other one was Jesse Biddle, who's been really, really good all year. And he had two or three kind of bad games the last week, and that really made things look worse. So I expect, but I like his stuff. I like his attitude. I think he'll bounce back. But the good news that the Buffaloes have been really short on good news. So Takahiro Okada played his first game today. It was a game. I mean, he had a sac fly home run, an RBI single. And he was part of that team last year too. He was sort of it's like they found him at the bottom of the bay and they say, hey, look, we found the Takahiro Okada. we got rid of the guy who was wearing his uniform. Well, we found the real one. we got rid of that guy who was wearing his uniform the last 6 years.
The scarecrow guy. Yeah. He can be useful. Hopefully he can invigorate that team as well. But I also did have the Marines there, but they just haven't been able to get that engine. They've gotten it started and it looked like they were going somewhere. And it's just like a car that has a problem, like a fuel pump problem, right? You can go only so far and then the car stops. So they just haven't been able to get into that groove either. And they're, again, Tadahito Iguchi, the manager, is plugging in. They're not just doing the same thing over and over. They're plugging in different players. They're trying new guys. They're bringing up guys from the farm. They're pitching new or different guys. They're trying a lot of things. Just nothing has been able or nothing has gotten them going. So another team to keep an eye on.
I like a lot of the guys. I like, I saw... Well, of course, we saw that play the other day we'll get to that momentarily, but we saw a play I'd never seen before, the routine 4-2-5-3-4-6-8 double play. So I had never seen that one before. The pitcher tried to get in on it instead of the first baseman, but the first baseman shoved him out of the way.
Well, one day when we get to talk to foreign infielder, we will attack that because I do not like
what Bobby said on Twitter, did you not?
I did not. Bobby Scales?
Yes.
No, I did not.
Perfect timing. He said, we were talking about his comment that he doesn't watch enough baseball because he had never noticed how bad they are at rundowns. Mm-hmm. And his answer to my posting the double play was, it's more fun that way. Baseball is entertainment, right? That's the Shinjo approach.
Yeah, entertainment. All right, all right. Well, the guy who's most entertaining in this league, making a two-seam transition, is the Reiwa rock star Roki Sasaki. And on Friday night at Zozo Marine Stadium, he threw against the Tigers, and he worked six innings, no runs allowed, seven strikeouts, four hits, no walks, and he had hit a batter last time. He didn't hit anybody, and he pitched really, really well, and it ended up being a
he pitched well. without his really good stuff.
Yeah,
his fastball was kind of, for him, his fastball was mediocre, which meant it was only as good as everybody else's best.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah. They lost 1-0, and Sasaki got a no decision, so he stays at 5-0. He should really be 7-0 if you count that game, and then the eight perfect innings that he threw rendered him no decision.
He had one game where he kind of deserved to lose, and he got a win in that one. So, yeah, he might be 6-1, I think, given.
Okay, fair enough. But yeah, you're right. He wasn't all that sharp. I thought the fastball was popping a little bit, but I didn't think he had good control of that one either, and he didn't really seem to have good control of any of the secondary stuff, including the forkball, which he throws just to get guys off of his fastball. But he did get guys just staring straight at fastballs right down the plate because they were looking for something else.
Sure.
In those seven strikeouts. But I don't know. What did you think? Because I thought, again, he didn't really, you know, we know that about the max effort fastballs that he's not throwing those, and he just struggled trying to figure out a better plan as he went along, realizing that things weren't working.
His mechanics, I think, were a little off because we've been seeing, I think it's the first game this year he hasn't hit 164 on one of his fastballs. He got 163 once, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think his mechanics were just a little bit off. And I what I'm going to venture to say, and I'm no pitching coach, but I would say he wasn't staying on top of his fastball as well. He was getting kind of a little side spin. He wasn't getting the over-the-top spin that when he hits it, that nobody can stay on.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, so it was flattening out, and people were putting the bat on it a bit, which is what happens with it, but also the command of the fastball was nowhere. I mean, normally the pitch he can't command is the forkball, but his fastball was, the command was poor. The velocity was not there. The spin wasn't there. So I think he's going to bounce right back, or he's going to be one start from another 10 days off.
Yeah,
we haven't heard a next start announced yet, and today is Sunday, so that should come by Tuesday. We'll hear if he's going to start this week.
Anyway, they ended up losing the game in the ninth inning because their closer, Naoya Masuda, surrendered the game's only run, and that was a home run to Teruaki Sato of the Tigers. And I think you and I, we talked about this on a past episode, that I'm like, you just can't throw the ball over the middle of the plate because that makes it easier to hit. And I think, now, I don't know. We don't know. We never know. We just really know the outcomes. But I think that was a pitch that Masuda probably wanted to bounce or get close to the ground. And he ended up throwing it right down the middle. So even though it was low and it nearly bounced, it didn't bounce. And it stayed up high enough for Sato to dig it out and hit it out. So, yeah, I guess the moral of that story is, if you're going to bounce it, because the middle of the plate is just, it doesn't matter if it's sometimes high or sometimes low. Guys just have an easier time getting the bat on the ball for some reason, especially those lefties, I think, if the ball's down. But unfortunate, and the Marines, another reason why we have them low in the mini track segment, because they're just not winning those types of games. And they had their chances during that game to get a run here and there. And I think Jason joked that Leonis Martin looked a little like he was carrying some extra stuff around the bases when he was running.
Wow. Not emotional baggage, I suppose.
Oh, no, this was stuff you could that will slow you down, not the emotional kind. But anyway, so one note, you guys know that I like to listen to the radio broadcasts. There's just the guys talk more. the radio announcers know that you have no pictures, so they're more descriptive. And I use this app called Rogico to listen to broadcasts nationwide. And I was listening to the Dragons broadcast on Thursday, and I remember tweeting out one of Hiroshi Gondo's more hilarious comments earlier this season. But he was right on the ball again the other night when one of the Dragons players said something to the effect of, I got a hit because everybody else had gotten a hit in front of me, and I just, you know, I was riding that wave. And Gondo said, well, this is not about the batters in front of you. This is such a silly comment. And then and he went on and on and on, and he said, man, it's not about feeding off what the other players did. This is about your skills. It was you who got that hit. You're the one who got that hit. Tell us about that. He said, these player comments are ridiculous.
I'll tell you quickly, the first time I ever met Hiroshi Gondo was a couple of years after he was fired by the Bay Stars. And I ran into him at Tokyo Dome and introduced myself. And I said, we were talking about this and that. And he says, you know, Japanese baseball, they do so much stupid stuff. They running around the outfield, 1-2, 1-2. What is the point of that nonsense? Which is, that kind of talk is what got him fired at the Bay Stars, because you're not supposed to say that stuff. But he's always, you know, he's like our buddy Tyrone Woods. If he thinks it, you'll know it, because he's going to tell you.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, Tyrone, we miss you, bud. We really miss you. All right, let's go to fielding questions. All right, this one comes from Dave in Baltimore via email, and he said, John, or should I call you Gibby?
Call him H.
Oh, stop it. Got a question for you guys about Akira Naio. Have there been any position players in Japan who successfully converted to pitching? I can think of a couple guys in MLB who've done it, Trevor Hoffman, Kenley Jansen, but I'm drawing a blank on anyone in MPB. I can think of a number of players who've gone the other way, though. Kazuya Fukuda, Yoshio Itoi, Yuhei Takai, Ryuji Miyade, and Fumikazu Kimura. Thanks as always, Dave. P.S. I think you guys missed Koji Uehara when you were reciting the list of Japanese players from the Cubs. So yeah, Uehara as well. I was counting guys who actually played a lot, but okay. All right, Uehara. So Jim says this is an easy question, so it'll probably be easier for him. He'll have a lot of guys, but we'll see. The thing is, and we talked about it with on the Carlos Mirabal episode, most of these players who come into these teams, a lot of them who are pitchers already, are usually the best athletes on their team. So they're already hitters.
Right.
They're also pitchers, and they're just better at pitching. And so they get leveraged into playing, or urged into playing, the thing that's best. Or best suits their talents according to the teams and the old fogies with stogies. So I'm not sure that, you know, we can differentiate sometimes, but yeah, go ahead, Jim. I know you know some guys.
Well, I think as you said, so many guys started as pitchers and then converted. I mean, the biggest, you know, the big guy right now, there's always a lot of them. And it was an arm injury that caused their conversion. Yoshio Itoi, it was a strike zone injury.
Oh, one is coming to mind now.
Yeah.
Kazuo
Matsui was a high school pitcher. And he became, he was a high school pitcher and infielder, right? Yeah, so that was right. So, but Yoshio Itoi was, of course, a college pitcher, and he was really good. And he was a big prospect, and he was drafted as a pitcher, but he couldn't find the strike zone as a pro, so they said, well, I always like to hit, so let me do that. Okay, now the one guy who was actually an infielder who became a pitcher was Jun Hagiwara, who began his career with the Oryx Blue Wave, and he played one season. He became his first three seasons he was an infielder. Mm-hmm. And then eventually they converted him in sometime between 1998 and 2001, they converted him to a pitcher, and he became a reliever who spent another 6 years. He was a pretty decent middle reliever for the Blue Wave and Buffaloes. And then he finished his career with the Fighters and Swallows. So he's the only guy I know of. I mean, a lot of guys did both, but almost I'd say 99% of the time it was a guy who was a pitcher who usually his arm got hurt and he became a position player.
Okay. And that's all you got?
That's all I got. Jun Hagiwara. I'm sure there are a couple of other guys, but it's, you know, like I said, it's a huge list of guys who went the other way.
Right. Well, I hope more players are able to exercise their leverage. Like, obviously, we got big stars like Shohei Ohtani and then Noki Sasaki. And
got one guys coming like up that. This year. Who? Got one coming up this year. Guy from Nippon Sports Science University who's an outfielder and a pitcher. And he's very likely going to earn. He's got the kind of leverage where he could be the top guy in the draft. Mm-hmm. And he'll be kind of like the boogie woogie bugler boy of Company B. He'll have some pull because everybody wants him. And he can probably say to the teams before he signs, before the draft, if you want me to play, you got to let me try both.
Yeah. And I want to see more players who are in position to have some leverage, maybe be able to use that and urge these teams to allow them to do both so we get to see it. And just, you know, we've seen what Ohtani has done in Japan and what he has done in the major leagues. And there are guys out there with obviously maybe not the same ability, but similar ability and that they can be successful at it and help a team that way. And that just gives so much more to the game and to the managers and to organizations.
And the fans, and fans dig it. You know, that's what Joe Madden told me about Shohei Ohtani. Wouldn't the fans dig it? And I'm saying, absolutely.
Wouldn't the fans dig it? All right. So Dave, we appreciate you. Dave is a long, long time listener. You get the double long time listener on that one. We appreciate the question from him. Anyone else that has a question, hit us up at JBW Podcast on Twitter with the hashtag High Heat. Send other questions, including your MP3 questions. You can record them on your smartphone very easily and shoot them on over to yakyujohn@gmail.com. And you can also hit us up on the Facebook page and leave us a message there. Look for us on Google Play, because that's the one that's working the best right now, and iTunes. We will talk to you next week. Enjoy your baseball.
See you at those interleague ballparks.
Follow the hosts on Twitter at JBW Podcast and at JBallAllen. And feel free to submit your questions by email or tweet with hashtag High Heat. Thank you for listening to Japan Baseball Weekly.